that last song we sang, I am free. I am free to run. I'm free to dance. I'm free to live for him. Amen. They can never take that freedom away from us. Amen? Amen? We'll fight to make sure that they don't take any, as much religious freedom from us as they want to try, but they can never take our freedom to live for him away from us. And you can sing, and you can dance, and you can run, even if you're in prison. Remember Paul and Silas? What were they doing? Singing songs, and praising the Lord. And you know what happened from there? They all got set free. Hallelujah. We're going to be studying the Holy Spirit again. This is the Holy Spirit part two. Praise God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Jesus said that you would be the one who would come and lead us. You are the Spirit of truth who would lead us into all truth. And that you would lead us, you would guide us, you would teach us, you would remind us of everything that he ever told us in the Gospels, and that you would tell us things. You would tell the apostle things that they just weren't ready to grab a hold of then. And that's what you did. You gave them the revealed word of God. You gave them the New Testament. And they wrote it all out for us, all the revelation that you've given them. And Holy Spirit, you are the only one who can help us, illumine us, and give us understanding of everything, of the revelations that you gave them. So Holy Spirit, we want to understand you better and better. We want to get to know you better and better, Holy Spirit. So lead us, guide us, teach us. We pray right now in Jesus' name, amen. So we ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And we know that we're going to answer, the best way to answer that question, a very important question, is by studying the names of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Because we want to get to know the Holy Spirit as much as we possibly can. We want to know everything that we can about him. Because remember, although he is God and he is spirit, he still is a real person who wants to be part of our daily life, who wants to walk with us and talk with us and speak with us, wants us to be spending time with him in prayer, spending time in the Word. And the Word of God is how he'll speak to us. He'll speak to our hearts. He gives us those promptings. He gives us that still, small voice where we hear from him. But we really hear from him when we're in prayer and when we're in the Word of God. That's how he reveals and gives us the understanding of exactly what the will of God is for our life. So important to get to know him in such a personal, intimate way, in an intimate relationship with him. Remember last week I emphasized how important it is that we acknowledge the Holy Spirit as a real and distinct person who wants to walk with us, wants us to walk with him and talk with him so we can grow in our personal relationship with him, together with learning about his works and how to flow in his power. Remember, they both go together. One isn't more important than the other. They have to work together. We have to look for a person, not merely an impersonal influence. Remember, Holy Spirit is a divine person who will be by our sides to be our strength in all weakness, our peace in all trouble, our wisdom in all darkness, and our guide when we are perplexed about all that's going on around us in the world. The Holy Spirit is the person you want to go to. Not NBC, not ABC, not Fox, not... You want to go to the Holy Spirit to really help you understand what's going on according to the Word of God and to the will of God. Amen? Amen. And this week, I just want to add this, that if we don't fellowship with the Holy Spirit as a real and distinct person and grow in our personal relationship with him in that way, we won't be able to flow in his power and operate in his gifts as much as we would like to in our lives and in the church. That's how united and how important. The two go together. Amen? Amen. So we looked at another one of the names that we looked at last week was for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, which is a very important word. It's the Paraclete. Not only does it mean Comforter, not only is it, but it also means Advocate. So not only is he a consoler, someone that we can go to that will comfort us in times of trouble and console us, but really the main meaning of that word Paraclete is he's an advocate. He's a counselor. He's our lawyer. I hear some of you talking about teachings about going to the throne room of God or to the courtrooms of God. Well, you better not go without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. He is the, if you really want to know how to fight things in the legal realm, rather probably in the natural or the spiritual, the Holy Spirit, that's his name. That's exactly who Jesus was saying he was going to send, your advocate. He knows everything about the law of God and about the attacks of the enemy and everything that the enemy may try to accuse you of. If you want to be set free from them, the Holy Spirit is the one. He's your advocate here on earth to help you do that, to help you fight those battles in the legal courts, in the spiritual realm. Amen? The Comforter means one who's called to the side of another for the purpose of helping him in any way and giving us strength, particularly in legal and criminal proceedings. The Holy Spirit, remember, is a powerful person on our side. He's always working for us and with us and in us, in our life, to give us the victory. So we want to look at a couple more names from the Bible that help us know who the Holy Spirit is and for the church and for each one of us personally to know him better. His name is the Holy Spirit. Why is he called the Holy Spirit? Because the Spirit is called, he is the Spirit of the Holy One. And because his chief work is sanctification, to purify us, to give us pure hearts, pure minds, pure thoughts. To be like David and say, Lord, search my heart, and if there be any wicked way in me, take help, get rid of it, repent of it, renounce it, get it out of my life, to sanctify us and cleanse us. One of the best scriptures that helped me understand that was Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm just going to read verse 3, and then I'm going to drop down to verses 7 and 8. Verse 3 says this, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, and that entails, first of all, a clean cut with sexual immorality. Listen, the temptation to engage in sexual intercourse outside of the marriage relationship has always been powerful. And if anything, I would say it's probably just as powerful, if not more powerful, than it was even in the times of Rome, especially in America. It is just constantly put in your face. It's all over the TV. It's all over Bill. It's all you hear. It's all you see. It's just constantly, the enemy's constantly bombarding us with images of that stuff, right? So we've got to have the Holy Spirit to stay sanctified in our life, and especially here in America. Why? Because giving into that temptation can have disastrous results. You can read through the Old Testament and see any time that, whether it was King David or one of his sons or another king, any time they got involved, especially King David with Bathsheba, there were disastrous results, right? In his family, and those, he suffered consequences all throughout his life for that one mistake with that. Giving into the temptation can have disastrous results. Sexual sin always hurts someone, individuals, families, businesses, and churches. Not only that, but it really damages your spiritual relationship with the Lord. Sexual desires and activities must be placed under the Holy Spirit's control. God created sex for procreation and pleasure, and as an expression of love between a husband and a wife. Therefore, it's simple. Sexual experience must be limited to the marriage. Amen? Then listen what Paul, I love what Paul says here in verses 7 and 8. And I'm going to be reading from, it's a couple different versions, but verse 8 I'm going to read from the Phillips translation, because when I read it one time, it just really hit me about why he's called the Holy Spirit by the way that Phillips translated it. But look at what he says in verse 7. The calling of God is not to impurity, but to the most thorough purity. And anyone who makes light of the matter or makes fun of that matter is not making light or fun of man's ruling, but of God's command. Listen, the younger generation nowadays, if you preach this to them, they would just laugh in your face. Most of them that don't know the Lord, they'll just laugh in your face. Oh, that's old stuff. Nobody cares about that anymore. But it says they're not making fun of man's rules. They're making fun of God's commands. Then listen to this. This is how Phillips translates verse 8. It is not for nothing that the Spirit of God, that the Spirit that God gives us is called the Holy Spirit. Hello. Right? Isn't that a great translation? Let me read it again. It is not for nothing that the Spirit of God, that the Spirit God gives us is called the Holy Spirit. Why? Simply because, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's called us to be holy just like him. In his song, Rushing Wind, Keith Green sings these words that expresses what we should ask the Holy Spirit to help us with in our lives. Separate me from this world, Lord. Sanctify my life for you. Daily change me to your image and help me bear good fruit. Amen. Another name is the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit of promise. And we know he's called the Holy Spirit of promise because his grace and power is one of the most outstanding blessings that God promised us in the Old Testament. Remember? Ezekiel 36, 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Jeremiah 31 says that's the promise of the New Testament. Jesus would come on the cross and he would pay the price for our sins. He would die on the cross and shed his blood, have his body torn for our sins, pay the price, the atoning price for our sins so that our sins could be forgiven. That he would sign the new covenant in his blood. And what was the major part of the new covenant that Jeremiah talks about? The same thing that Ezekiel said. I will now put my spirit within you. So that you, and my laws, I'll write them on your minds and on your hearts so that you can obey me. Joel 2:28 also says, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Those are great promises. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit of promise. And Jesus knew that it was his highest privilege. One of the highest privileges that Jesus would have when he would be exalted and go back to heaven would be to impart the Spirit, to pour out the Holy Spirit upon the church and birth the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that when he said in Luke 24:49, wait, receive power from on high, because behold, I'm going to send the promise of the Father upon you, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 13 and 14 tells us this about Jesus, that Christ died on that tree, died on that cross, that he literally became a curse for us, and that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Why? So that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit of promise. He is the promise from the Father. Peter tells us when he got filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 in his first sermon, he tells us this, that that's exactly what happened. Acts chapter 2, verses 31 through 33. This is what Jesus did on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after he ascended to the right hand of the Father. Peter tells us. It was King David, that King David actually prophesied about the resurrection of Jesus, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. And Peter tells the Jews that day, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Jesus got to send the Holy Spirit that day. Isn't that awesome? He's also called the Spirit of Truth. This is one of my favorite names for the Holy Spirit. And I think it was one of Jesus' favorite names for the Spirit of God because he used it three times. In John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus himself calls the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. He used it three times during his table talk. That's what was going on in John chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. They're all sitting, remember that's when he instituted the Last Supper and communion. They're all sitting around the table. It's table talk, like Joni's table talk. But this is Jesus' table talk. He's teaching them all about the Holy Spirit, why he's going to have to leave. I think it's awesome if you read through those chapters. I'll just summarize some of it because it's not in my message here, but he starts in 14. He tells them he's leaving. He's going to prepare a place for them, but he'll come back. Then he says, but look, and here's what you need to do. I'm going to leave, but you need to pray to the Father. Everything you pray in my name, the Father will give you. Then he tells them in verse 12 of 14, what? What's John 14, 12? The works that I have done, even greater works you will do. And then he goes right into talking again about the Holy Spirit. He tells them again, look, you can do greater works. Pray in my name. Whatever you pray in my name, the Father will do it. And then let's see what he says about the Holy Spirit in John 14, verses 16 and 17. He tells them there, if you'll obey my commands and you do what I tell you to do, you pray, you'll do great works, and then I'll pray. Listen to what he says. And then I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So Jesus is telling them, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you forever. He's not going to leave like I'm getting ready to leave right now, but he will be with you forever. And his name is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. So we know the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth because his teaching is true. And he reveals to us Jesus, who is the truth, the way, and the life. Then in John 15, 26, remember I said Jesus uses the name Spirit of Truth three times in those chapters. John 15, 26, Jesus says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. If you read the verses before that, Jesus had just told the disciples, look, the world hates me. Jesus never tried to butter them up and make it sound like it was going to be really easy to walk with him. He told them, the world hated me. They're going to hate you. They didn't receive me. They're not going to receive you. They're going to come against you. Jesus had just told them in the very last verse, I think it was 25, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Look, Jesus had spent time with them. He had taught them his doctrine, showed them his love, showed them his holiness, did amazing miracles before them, but they still were rejecting him. So there was only, Jesus is saying, look, I did everything I can do, but there's one thing left for me to do. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit now. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. He's the true Spirit. He is truth itself. The Spirit of him who is truth, the director of the dictator of the scriptures of truth. And it's the Spirit of Truth who will now testify to them that Jesus is their Messiah. And we know that the Holy Spirit continued to do Jesus' work all through the disciples, all throughout the book of Acts, and testify to who Jesus was. And And he's been doing that ever since. He's been testifying who Jesus is. And many people have been getting saved. We would have never got saved ourselves if the Holy Spirit of truth hadn't told us the truth and testified to us of who Jesus is. Amen? Then he says it again in John 16, verse 13. Jesus tells them, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will do what? He will guide you into all truth. Praise God. Aren't you glad that we have the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth? I believe not only scriptural truth and spiritual truth, but he guides us into all truth. Why? Because we live in a world right now that is being attacked by the father of lies. And if there's ever a time when you needed to know the Holy Spirit in this way, that he will teach you and keep you in all truth, it is right now. Because the father of lies has cranked up the lies more than ever, and you just see nothing but lie after lie after lie being promoted through the airways, through the media. So thank God that we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who guides us into all truth. And Jesus said, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come, which is exactly what he did. That's the New Testament. He, the Holy Spirit, is the one who gave the New Testament to all those who wrote the New Testament for us, the Scriptures. But he also tells us a lot more than that. The Holy Spirit, I believe he's saying here, will fully explain everything that may now appear dark or difficult for us. And he does. How many times have you sat down probably and watched the news or watched something and got totally upset and difficult and you didn't understand what was going on, but as soon as you go into prayer and get with the Holy Spirit, he lets you know what's going on. He gives you that peace. Amen? The Spirit of truth is the one who guides us into all truth. He will teach us every essential truth. Listen to this. He will teach us every essential truth that is necessary for us to know in order to make the new covenant revelation complete and perfect for us. If you want to know everything about the new covenant, what it's all about, and have revelation and want it to be complete and perfect for you, you'll get that from the Holy Spirit. He will teach us all that's useful to help other men and women, all that's profitable to the churches. He'll teach us the whole counsel of God. The Spirit of truth especially teaches us how to worship. Why? Because those who worship God must worship them how? In spirit and in truth, the Spirit of truth. You can't worship God correctly without the Spirit of truth. Amen? Because we must worship him in spirit and in truth. He'll teach us doctrine, which is what he's doing right now. He'll guide us. He goes before us. He leads us all the way. He'll remove any obstruction from us that stops us, that's trying to keep us from obtaining all that God has for us or going places that God wants us to go. He'll open our understanding. He illumines us. He illuminates the Scriptures for us. He makes things plain and clear. Aren't you glad for that? Teaches us how to profit. And he leads us always in the way that we should go, without turning to the right hand or to the left. Because without such an awesome guide in our life, we are prone to get off and go to the right or left and not stay on the right path. Thank God for the Spirit of truth. So go, if you're still in John chapter 16, I want to kind of just read chapters, or John chapter 16, verses 1 through 7, I believe it is, just to, so you can kind of understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. It's very similar to what we're living in right now ourselves. And all of this is in reference to the Holy Spirit, why he's sending the Holy Spirit. So let's read. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified version because it really amplifies it. John 16, verse 1. I have told you all these things that you should not be offended, so that you're not taken unaware, that you won't falter, that you won't be caused to stumble or fall away. Listen, this is so important. That's why Jesus was being totally 100% honest and truthful with them about what it means to be a Christian. Because if you promise people only good things are going to happen to them, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to stumble, they're going to fall away, and they're going to say, you lied to me. You just told me all these good things are going to happen. And ever since I've got saved, all hell's broke loose against me. Look, it's not that it's not true, not that we don't get incredibly blessed, but that's not what Jesus taught his disciples, and that's not what we should preach to people. Because if you do that, they will stumble, they will fall away. You get that? I told you this to keep you from being scandalized and repelled. Verse 2. They will put you out of the church. They will close your doors of your church. They'll kick you out of the synagogues. They'll arrest you if you're a pastor in Canada and haul you away right in front of your children. It's happening all around us. But an hour is coming when whoever kills you is going to think and claim they've offered a great service to God or they've done something great for the government. And they will do this because they've not known the Father or me. But listen to what Jesus says. But I have told you these things now, so that when they occur, you'll remember that I told you of them. I do not say these things. I didn't tell you these things from the beginning. Why? Because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts and taken complete possession of them. Verse 7. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say that it is profitable. It's good, expedient. It's advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. Into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, what is Jesus telling us? Is to be in close fellowship with us, to be totally in union and communion with us, to be united with us, to be our best friend, to be the person we go to all the time, the one we're talking to, aware of his presence all the time with us. And then Jesus ended the chapter, if you want to drop down to verse 33, with these incredible words for us that he meant for the disciples, because look, hey, what did he promise them? The same thing we could promise people. Anything you pray in the name of the Father, I'll do it for you. Hey, the works that I did, you're going to do greater works than those. We can tell people that, right? But then he went on to tell them, not only are you going to do those things, but look, while you're doing those things, the whole world and all of hell is going to come after you. But I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and I'm giving you my peace. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will get you through these things. And he ends with this, telling them this in verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Ah, isn't that good? Listen to how the Amplified says this last verse. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. And I love this word. Undaunted. Be undaunted. Why? Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you, it says in the Amplified. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when we read through this, when we read the whole plan of salvation and the whole plan about you and the Father sending the Holy Spirit to birth the church and to be with us and to continue your work upon this earth through us and to protect us and help us and guide us, lead us into all truth. You did not leave one thing. You thought of everything. There's not one thing that you didn't think of that we would be equipped and prepared for everything that's going on in our life and in this world right now. You're so awesome. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the promised Holy Spirit, that you kept your promise and you poured out the Holy Spirit. And you're still pouring out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh throughout the earth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to sanctify us, to keep us pure and holy. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, that you lead us and guide us into all truth. Continue to lead us and guide us into all truth and protect us from all lies and all error, Lord, so that we can be in your will and do exactly what you've called us to do. We love you and praise you, and we thank you that we do not have to fear the world, even though that there's going to be trials and tribulations and things coming against us, Father. You promised us we'll have peace and confidence. We can have courage because you've given us the Holy Spirit. And you have overcome the world, Jesus. And we can overcome the world because it says in 1 John, who is he who overcomes the world? But those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's our faith in you that helps us overcome the world. So we thank you for that. So lead us and guide us. Father, help us now and let us use the Holy Spirit to minister to every single person in our sphere of influence. Father, you want to use us just like you did Jesus. When Jesus said that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God is upon me, he has anointed us for the purpose of preaching the gospel, to setting the captives free, opening blind eyes, getting the truth out, seeing people saved, healed, and delivered, and brought into the kingdom of God. So we ask you to use us, and Holy Spirit, that you would continue to teach us and work through us in Jesus' name. Amen.